Coming up on Patriots This Week, pirating a victory in Tampa. The Patriot defense preserving the win on the last play of the game.
They played a great game. They really kept us in it all night.
Defense stepped up, played great.
The midweek win was satisfying, yet not up to Patriot standards.
We know we have a lot of things to work on, but it's good to get a win off a short win.
Glad we won.
Start spreading the news. It's a first place battle in the Meadowlands, and Gangrene has won 3 in a row.
They're young, they're hungry. We've got a hard time down there.
It's J-E-T-S Jets Week, right now on Patriots This Week.
It's about time. After 5 weeks of the 2017 regular season, the Patriots finally encounter an AFC East opponent. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Bob Soucy, joined by my radio partner from 98.5 The Sports Hub, Scott Zolak, the ex-Patriots quarterback, alongside the ex-Patriots linebacker and special teams ace, three-time Super Bowl champion, Matt Chatham. And as they enter mid-October, this is generally when you find out about a football team. What do we know about these Patriots and their personality?
See what happens? You put them on a DL last week. Guy comes out flying. It's like his first show. Look at the energy. You look good.
You sound good.
Holy cow! He's ready for divisional games. Yeah. This is where you sort of find out what type of team you have. And you played for Bill. It's 5-6 weeks into the season. Extensions of the preseason. We're starting to put that in a rearview mirror. Now you start to find out what your core's about, what your team identity is about. We know they like to throw it on offense. I like to see them run the ball a little bit more to protect Tom Brady, to keep the hits off him. And defense continue to build, I think, off what they started to do.
Yeah, it's a great point, Zoe. Just the idea of who do we know they are now. We know there's someone who can go throw it 50 times and put up over 30 points if they want to. But relative to the situation right. with Tommy's shoulder, getting hit a little bit here in the last few weeks, you don't want to do that for 16 weeks. So we know what they could do in the event that they had to roll to that. But I think getting back to using more Gillislee, getting the guy to be a 20-touch-a-game kind of dude, getting your other backs involved. We know we have Rex Burkhead coming back here at some point. They have a roster built with a lot of pieces. They're not using them a lot. So starting to use them more as the season goes on.
Well, since you mentioned him and mentioned the hits, Tom Brady sacked 16 times, hit 32 times through 5 games. Not only did he have a weekend off, but he took Tuesday off as well, not visible during the media portion of practice for the Patriots. Yeah. Various reports seem to suggest he'll play this Sunday.
I don't know why. I mean, he drinks a lot of water. The pliability's better. He doesn't get sore. He's told us all that. The TB12 method, everything's
no
working. But, I mean, you look at the hit he took, the one where Derek Carr broke his back on, has had a fracture. Brady took a similar hit like that. That's where the pliability comes into effect. We've seen him take some hits. It was the hit in Carolina by Julius Peppers, which kind of started this, I don't want to say free fall, but to where we're going to watch every single hit that left shoulder takes, and Tom said it. I've kind of learned 17 years into it to kind of fall on that shoulder to minimize the hits off the right one.
See, one of the things that I think it gets overlooked a little bit, when you start worrying about how much a quarterback gets hit, it's a function of the things you choose to do on offense too, right? Well, why do they get hit? They love downfield balls. They love to protect with just 5. And you look at a lot of the other offenses in the NFL, 6, 7, they'll max protect with 8 and just send a couple guys out in the pattern. This team loves to give Tom as many options as possible, which means everyone goes out. And they still want extended pockets with everyone out because they loved to use Hogan and Cooks down the field. So that's the choices you make. If you want to have that kind of offense, your quarterback's probably going to get hit.
The ones I don't like is the third ones where you're going empty. That's what he's talking about. You know, you got 5. You can only block 5. They bring 6, he's getting hit.
Exactly.
Well, they didn't have Gronk for Tampa Bay. Perhaps he's back this weekend. They didn't have Rex Burkhead the last couple of weeks. Maybe he comes back. How might that change the nature of this offense? Because Brady, by his own admission, has taken it upon himself, saying, hey, I've held on to the ball a little bit longer than I should have in certain
drastically.
Situations.
Drastically. I think Gronkowski changes things drastically because you have no backup tight end. And I mean that there's no production there. For whatever reason, Dwayne Allen isn't the player that we thought he was going to be. He's not Martellus Bennett. I don't think he's a go-to guy. I don't think Brady's really looking at him. And the times he does look at him when he's wide open, he's so open it's shocking that the ball goes to the feet and it's never caught or it's 10 feet over the head. They're just not in the same zip code.
This is just the way it is with Tom in this offense. And, you know, he's got a long history of this. He wants to go to you. He wants to use you. But after a couple missed opportunities, he can't go back to the well. He's got 6, 7 other guys that he could go to. So that's just kind of how the offense around here works. You missed your window a couple times early. There will be more other opportunities later in the season. I don't think you should sort of put dirt on this guy.
But yeah, I'm not doing that. He's not going anywhere, folks. They're paying him a ton. He's your backup tight end. And we know how it is with Rob throughout the year. There's going to be something else that's going to come up.
So. Yeah, but I think his opportunities to catch balls later may come with 2 of them on the field when the focus shifts to the other guy, not in a solo situation in the absence of Gronk.
All right. A little more time to reflect on that win and the defensive performance at Tampa Bay. Patriots limiting the Bucs to two scores, albeit with three missed field goals by Tampa Bay, but nonetheless 2-for-4 in the red zone. A building block defensively. Where do you want to see them go this week against the Jets?
I thought, Evans was mitigated in this game. I thought Gilmore did a nice job, matching up with him. We didn't talk about Gilmore much on the broadcast, which is a good thing because you're sort of taking care of the guy that you're covering. The big thing I saw was the combination of McCourty and Chung. It was their best game this year together. Those two have had great games in the past together. And I think that's something you build up. Those are your two big leaders back there. It's Chung. It's McCourty. Let's man up a little bit more. And I think they kicked Hightower in early, even though they moved him around throughout the course of that game.
It's a matchup league. Each team's different. The offense the Jets have is nothing like anything we've seen thus far. So there's not going to be a lot of carryover. The one thing you'll want to keep an eye on is the broken play stuff.
Got to get rid of stupid penalties, though, too. There are too many dumb things happening right now. Too rough in the passer calls before the half. It's a game of free kick. Those are things that I know drives this head coach nuts. I don't know how you coach it. I don't know how you change that. But there's got to be a different attention to detail there.
Before we get to special teams, Trey Flowers last year, we knew he could rush the quarterback. 7 sacks, 2.5 sacks as well in the Super Bowl. This year, we're starting to see his role evolve a bit. What do you like from him?
Well, I think, he's starting to understand that he's got to be that vital piece moving forward. If Allen Branch isn't going to be there, and we'll see how he reacts, the way Jabal Sheard acted last year when he was stayed at home for one of the away games. Let's see if he comes back, if he's got a different motor. Because if he's in the middle and Brown's in the middle and you're able to combo some things, you're going to be able to free him up outside on one-on-ones. And I think that's what they're looking for. But until then, he's going to start to get doubled because I think he's your best pass rusher up front.
The one thing that's cool around here, and it's sort of been a trend for the last several years, is to have one guy that can live in both rooms, the defensive line room and also the linebacker room. And Trey's really that guy. His body type is not so big. It's on the bigger end of linebackers, on the smaller end of defensive end guys. So he pops inside from time to time when necessary. Mm-hmm. But there are games where he can get worn down if you leave him in there too long. There's other times where they jump into regular personnel and they're playing 3-4 defense like years of old, and he's a stand-up outside linebacker. So I think the play volume he's gotten is just because of the versatility that he has. He doesn't just play in some packages, pretty much plays in all of them.
All right, Matt, I'm going to ask you about your specialty, special teams. Bad pun intended. Matthew Slater, Nate Ebner weren't on the team, at least active, to begin the year because both were shaken up. They were on the roster but didn't play early on the season. Now they're contributing. How does that impact that unit going forward?
Well, there's just going to be more kicks, so I think it's important to understand that you go through the month of September, and sometimes special teams will feel less important because everything's a touchback, everything's a real high-hanging kick that you don't see punts. All of a sudden, the volume in those kinds of plays changes. You might have 2 times, sometimes 3 times as many. In the Tampa game, there were barely any special teams plays. But just understand, as the weather starts to turn, a little windier, a little overcast, and the colder days here in Gillette, all of a sudden you have 25 special teams plays, and it's good to have those guys that make sure there are no leaks in the dam.
Zoe mentioned stupid penalties. Patriots had an offsides last week in a punt situation
on
the Miami drive. Yeah. How does this team address those issues on that particular side?
And I don't think you need to beat it into them. You'll need to run laps. You'll need to take money away. Brandon Bolden knows he's screwed up, but he understands that I'm on this team because I'm a core special teamer. Like the Matthew Slater, the Edmund hits, you've got to get guys down where the ball is caught.
All right, good to be back in the chair. I'll be back with Don Banks alongside with his bank shots. But first, these words on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Find out why 4 out of 5 customers recommend Waste Management for their waste disposal needs.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Steven Goskowski. Now in his 12th season, the 6'1", 215-pounder from the University of Memphis has converted on all 12 field goal attempts this season. His 58-yarder against the Panthers set the team record for the longest ever, and his 87% field goal conversion rate is the 4th best in NFL history. Goskowski is not only the longest-tenured kicker in Patriots history, but also their leading all-time scorer. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome Welcome back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Time to take aim now with our bank shots, joined by Don Banks. And Don, if things couldn't get any worse for the New York Giants, they did on Sunday, losing to the winless Chargers and then losing Odell Beckham Jr.
It obviously robs them of their one go-to playmaker. They lost a total of four receivers in that game, so they're kind of decimated at that position. I actually think, though, that Beckham was the guy that opened everything up. So if you want to define what a lost season looks like in today's NFL, the 2017 Giants are a great example.
And meanwhile, later during that great game between Kansas City and Houston, Texans lose Whitney Mercilus and J.J. Watt. The impact on the AFC and the Texans in particular.
You know, it's strange to say this, but the Texans found out that they could win without Watt last season. I actually think they're more concerned about Whitney Mercilus being gone for the year. He was kind of emerged finally as the playmaker they thought he would be when they took him in the first round. I'm not all that worried about Watt being out again, at least except how it affects the rest of his career. And will he ever be the J.J. Watt that we got used to again? But the Mercilus absence now really could show up for a Houston defense that needs pass rush.
Of course, the Texans, a playoff opponent of the Patriots a year ago, as were the Pittsburgh Steelers, who met the Pats in the AFC Championship, and they just lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Five interceptions by Ben Roethlisberger. Whether he meant it literally or not, he did question in his postgame remarks whether he could still do it. Kenny?
I take a little bit of a cynical view. Ben likes some attention. He likes some drama. He likes, when he gets hurt, to play up the injury a little bit. I wonder if this is another situation, just like the retirement talk this offseason, where Ben isn't kind of steering the spotlight to himself. But clearly, he's not playing good football right now. I don't think the Steelers are panicked about it at 3-2, but they're concerned.
It's been a rough start for a number of projected contenders in the AFC, including the Oakland Raiders, a playoff team from a year ago. Derek Carr gets hurt, and that Oakland defense has been decimated thus far by giving up too many yards.
Nothing has really gone right for this team since Marshawn Lynch danced on the sideline after a Week 2 blowout against the Jets. I'm wondering if this is a team that thought it had arrived before it really did. And I'm also more interested, Bob, is this team's fans, who have clearly been jilted by the Las Vegas move, they were willing to put up with winning if the Raiders were leaving? Are they going to be willing to put up with a losing football team? This could get ugly in Oakland. These fans could turn on this team if the performance doesn't snap back quickly, starting with this week against the Chargers.
Adrian Peterson goes from Bourbon Street to the Valley of the Sun. Has the sun set on his career, and how difficult is it going to be for him to run behind that Cardinals line?
Look, he was misfit in New Orleans. He wasn't going to get the ball enough. That was a bad idea that they executed with Ingram and then drafting Kamara. You know, they need him in Arizona. They're going to give him the ball. I just don't see the explosiveness. I think, you're going to look back and say Emmitt Smith and Edgerrin James, they got a lot more out of them than they did Adrian Peterson.
Don, as always, thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
Don Banks with us. Scott and Matt are back to talk about the Jets right after this on Patriots This Week.
All right, time now for your Zoe Show. What we're going to do is take a look at the New York Jets defense. Why? Divisional opponent. Historically, the front seven has always had a home record. That's what I like to call them. Well, this guy right here in the middle, number 56, six-year player out of Arkansas State, DeMario Davis. Why is he a home record? Just take a look at him right here at the mic position. Here you go. You got a 4-3 front. Four down. They're kicked to the strength of the formation. Classic bunch. Watch this guy step up. There he is right there. Sheds the guard. He's getting doubled right there. Gets up to the ball carrier. Okay, stop it right there. Right here. All out blitz look. What they're going to do is end up dropping out. So you saw him against the run. Take a look at him right here against the pass. Coming up right here. Watch the motor. Back downhill. That's why we call this guy a wrecker in your front. So you got to stay on these blocks long enough to keep number 12 upright. Here we go again. Little stat formation. It's a quick throw to the outside. Right down. Boom. There it is. There's your tackle. It's not Lawrence Taylor, right? There's only 156 in the city of New York, but there's a pretty good one by the name of DeMario Davis. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is presented by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
We're back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Time now to focus on the New York Jets, the Patriots' next opponent, who lost their first two as expected, but have become one of the pleasant surprises in the NFL this season by winning three straight. First time ever in his 15-year career that Josh McCown has led a team to victories in three consecutive starts.
You know, it's funny. You know, you go back 2 or 3 months and the nonsense that was being talked about, you know, potentially 16-0 versus a Jet team, which should be 0-16 this year. You know, they're sort of playing for a new quarterback, waiting for the draft next year. This game's for first place this week. And it's an interesting spot because I think it's a tough place to play is MetLife Stadium. We've been down there. Whether you're playing the Giants, whether you're playing the Jets, something always weird happens in that stadium, whether it's a butt fumble going back to Sanchez or, you know, the second-level block on a kick, which was a tough call on the Patriots a couple years ago on a loss. It's a divisional game, and these games are tough. And McCown's playing good.
Yeah, I think this is one of those games where, unfortunately, because they've gutted the roster a little bit, they'll put back in solid pros.
It's a little bit of the unknown. It's not Decker. It's not Marshall.
Exactly.
We could potentially get beat by a couple no-name guys.
Well, but this is the thing. So there, you look at it and you don't go, there's a bad play. You just have a whole bunch of average plays. So I think what you invariably do if you're a defense is you're more game planning plays as opposed to people, right? So it's not we don't have to stop X, we don't have to stop this guy. It's we have to stop these certain elements. We have to be able to defend this particular package, which is weird. Usually in the NFL, you target a guy. I mean, Kurse is a good pro. Robbie Anderson, a good pro. Austin Zafarian and Jenkins, a good pro. He's actually had a little bit of a resurgence here now, made a couple plays in the last couple weeks. Powell, good pro. This young guy, Elijah McGuire, he's actually had some exciting plays in the last couple weeks. Broke a big one against the Jags. But at the end of the day, you're not putting together a game plan. How do we stop any of those guys? It's more defend the whole field, play smart, don't give anything away.
Speaking of defending the whole field, last year and for part of 2015, you really didn't have to worry about a tight end. You mentioned Zafarian Jenkins. He's come back from a league-imposed suspension. His return coinciding with a three-game winning streak. Caught a touchdown pass against the Browns. First TD for a Jets tight end since the middle of 15.
Yeah. ISO stuff. So he's really done it three different ways. He's caught some nice checkdown balls and made work with it. Big seam ball down the middle of the field. And then he's also caught an end zone ISO play where they just put the big 6'6 guy on and do stuff like you do with Gronk. So all of a sudden it looks like, okay, that's what Tampa had originally thought they got when they drafted that guy high.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you worry about Patriots linebackers and coverage. You know, safeties haven't been great in coverage down the field, down the seam. That's something you need to worry about, play action. Plus, the Jets get the run going. You know what happens there? You get sucked up on play action. You get tight ends free running down the field.
And the Jets traditionally have loved the screen game, but Forte's been out with a toe injury. Powell got banged up against the Browns, and their status as we tape this somewhat up in the air.
Yeah, I know, but I think I'd worry about Powell more than anybody. I think he's a hard runner. He's the best back that they have. Forte, I think his best days are behind him.
Yeah. Zosho focused on DeMario Davis. We've seen him in the past
as
both a Jet and a Brown, and he's the centerpiece of that defense right now, along with Leonard Williams and, of course, Muhammad Wilkerson up front.
And that's the job of Tom Brady to handle that guy. Find the mic, point it out, make sure communication is perfect. Last thing you want is this guy running up. He's got some speed. He's got a good motor and hit number 12.
But some of the production they've had has actually been back stuff. The big game that Fournette had, the big game that Duke Johnson had with Cleveland, they've found a lot of work in screen game and check downs.
We're going to run the ball this game.
Edge
game. We're going to run the ball this game.
You're stealing my point. But, no, I think that's where the cracks are. And the other thing to pay attention to, you've seen a couple weeks here of more athletic edge guys sort of gaming and stuff. This is big, strong, a little less quick. So you're talking about Wilkerson, but you're also talking about Williams. This is the batted ball week, the old J.J. Watt with the sort of the rackets thing.
Sure.
These guys knock balls down on the inside, so keeping Tom's front porch clean is going to be very important.
Jets used their first two picks on safeties. What do you think of the two kids, Adams and May?
They've done great. But we know what they do when they have situations like this. So two rookies on the back end. Wow, you know, there's going to be a lot of play action. There's going to be a lot of moving guys with eyes and shoulders.
That's why I think it's big for Tom. You know, his ability to move him with his eyes, you know, just the little shimmy shakes of the shoulder, the play action showing the ball. Quarterback in his 18th year who's pretty much seen everything should take advantage of the youth back there.
All right, you guys are going to come back and tell us how it all turns out. Matt and Zoe back with more right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner.
All All right, back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios, time for predictions and game changers. Patriots-Jets, Scott Zola.
Yeah, I think it's going to be complimentary for me and this guy. I'm going to go with Rob Gronkowski. Big 10 days off. I thought it was huge that they rested him last week. And if this guy next to me thinks the running game's going to get going, play action pass, I think the big guy down the seam, 23-13, New England.
I like that call. I'm going 30-17 New England, but I think a lot of those Gillislee plays, hitting him hard on the edge, they've found some holes in that Jets defense in the last couple weeks. I think the Patriots go and say, we're going to do some of that as well. Yeah, and then they pull it out and throw it to Gronk on the other ball. But Gillislee, he's going to have a big game.
All right, Patriots and the Jets coming up Sunday at 1 for Matt Chatham, Scott Zolak, and Don Banks. I'm Bob Sosie. Thanks for joining us on Patriots This Week. We'll talk to you again next week. So long, everybody.